I told you that this year's state legislature was going to be doing damage control. Damage control, you know, starting with, oh my God, that long-term care tax is going to kill us in November if that's a ballot issue, if that is an issue in the midterm campaigns. We got to put that thing on hiatus at the very least. So again, that legislation has sailed through the House and is going to pass the Senate, probably overwhelmingly, and the governor will... Well, I'm assuming he'll sign it into law. They got veto-proof majorities in both houses that are poised to pass it or already have. And then, of course, they're doing damage control on the anti-cop so-called police reform laws that look like they were written by the Seattle City Council. But there are some bills that are not just damage control, but they're great bills in and of themselves. And one of them is Senate Bill 5769 that cuts a series of taxes that are all designed to make Washington State more fair to taxpayers and homeowners and more competitive for businesses, particularly manufacturers. Person behind the legislation is my friend Linda Wilson. Linda is Republican state senator from the district right there on the Oregon border there in Clark County, covers the battleground area. And she's with us this morning. Hello, Linda. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
You know, I've got to ask the obvious question because people, you know, who are driving down to Vancouver, you know, driving over the border into Portland, they always pass the signs for battleground. What battle happened there?
You're asking me some history that I can't remember.
Well, the whole thing is you're not supposed to remember history because it's history. It happened before you were around.
That's right. Yeah. So you stumped me already.
Okay. Well, I've always wondered what the hell battle happened. I mean, you go to Eastern Washington and you know the battles between the tribes and the settlers and everything. They mark the battlefield, but when I see this, you know, battleground Washington. Okay, what was the fracas all about? What happened? When? Oh. Where?
No. Now I'm going to have to go look that up.
All right. As you know, when you come on the show, I ask the tough questions.
Okay.
I'll go where others don't dare go. Anyway, listen, the reason I brought you on is not to talk about history or geography. I brought you on to talk about your great bill here, Senate Bill 5769. Do tell our listeners what will happen if this becomes law.
Well, great. Yeah, we've got four great options in here. And I guess the first one, which would affect a lot of people, would be the property tax homestead exemption. And so that exempts the first $250,000 of your primary residence from state property tax. And so it's actually progressive tax relief because if, you know, you own a $250,000 house, you're not paying any property tax, state property tax. And if you own $1 million home, you're going to get a 25% tax relief. So that's the first one.
Now I should point out, would this have any standing if, let's say, we pass a levy? Would I pay less for the levy?
Well, that would be above and beyond if the voter chooses to raise that amount.
So right? this is for the state property tax.
This is the state property
portion.
Tax, right.
Okay. Good, because when the levies are not state, those are what are called special local district levies. Okay.
Right, right. So, and any of this money is backfilled in the budget. So schools, with any amount of money that the schools would receive would not be affected by this. They will continue to get their funding. That's the point, because we have over $10 billion in revenue right now, and that's where I think that it should go, is back to the people. So, and so these they will not be affected. None of the programs that the state has will be affected. Second one is the B&O tax for manufacturers. So, as you remember, that was in our budget in 2017, but the governor vetoed that section. But when you think about manufacturing, you know, over the course of the last century, the turn of the century, we have had over about 70,000 lost jobs in that sector, good family wage jobs. And, you know, with us being the most trade-dependent nation in the or state in the nation, then it seems to me that we should be looking to make our own products. And so we need to encourage that. We need to encourage other manufacturers to come into the state.
Well, I think that you probably, you know, there are organizations out there that measure the economic climate for basic industry or manufacturers. And we always show up in towards the bottom. And people say, how can that be? You know, we've got Boeing. Well, Boeing started here. Boeing would never relocate here if they were based in another state. And in fact, as we know, Boeing has been growing in other states.
Other states, correct.
So I really want to thank you for doing this, because I'll just tell you a quick anecdote. About 20 years ago, it was divulged that there were five aerospace companies that were looking to expand their operations. Bombardier was one. You know, they make either, you know, planes or component parts of aviation. And they all came to Washington State because, well, Boeing, so why don't we see if this is good for us? All five aerospace companies that were looking to expand their operations and were considering Washington State decided not to. They decided not to grow their aerospace company in the same place where Boeing was located.
Right. Right. And, I mean, everything we're doing is, I personally believe, we're pushing out business. We're pushing out our retirees, right? We're pushing out people that we would love to have come to our state because of the bills that we're running. Not we, them.
repeals, I mean, you're just getting started here. You reduce the B&O tax on manufacturing to zero because if that's what it takes to get manufacturing to come back here, then, you know, so be it. Those are great jobs, and a lot of them are union jobs. So I see a progressive measure to allow people living in modest priced homes the biggest tax exemption for property tax. I see a business tax reduction that is aimed at bringing in great blue collar and union jobs. You would think Democrats would be excited about this.
Well, you'd think so.
But they've managed to contain their excitement. Let's look at a couple other items.
They do that very well.
You want to repeal the capital gains income tax.
That's right.
Okay, that just was passed. Yeah, it hasn't started being collected yet.
That's right. That's exactly. I mean, the voters have said no 11 times, and we are listening to the voter. Plus, there's, you know, 85 years of court precedent there that indicates that a capital gain is a property tax, not an excise tax.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it is. For heaven's sakes, you only need to have, you don't need a law degree. You know what you need to understand the constitutional issues at play here? You need a working knowledge of the English language. When the state constitution expressly says property and then says property as defined means anything tangible or intangible that is owned, I'm guessing that would apply to investment income.
Well, that's got to be the case. And if this does get through the courts and they determine it isn't, then we would be the only state in the nation that calls capital gains an excise tax. I mean, we would be an entire outlier. I mean, even the Department of Revenue says it is an income tax. So, and it so I, you know, that, and that's that's the thing. You know, we've had so many people so many times tell us no. And that, again, we're talking about competitiveness with the state, right? If we don't have an income tax, again, we're going to be encouraging business to come, people to come, and not go find the states that don't have the taxes and the lower tax rates.
The lack of an income tax is the only thing that keeps a mass exodus of the population and businesses from occurring. The lack of an income tax is our saving grace. And if the majority party had its way, they would impose that tax tomorrow. And then finally, you would repeal the long-term care tax, which the Democrats are going to put on hold, hoping they can keep it in a year and a half. I don't think they will, because I don't think that tax is going to be any more popular in June of 2023 than it is in January of 2022. But again, you just want to, you know, finish the job, so to speak.
Right. Well, and you're right. I don't believe that they're going to be, it's going to be any more popular, because they're getting to, a lot of people are just getting to know that it exists. So a surprise out of their paychecks, which has happened. By the way, we did try to get a special session just to deal with this issue.
I know.
So that it would be done before we came in here. And that didn't happen either.
Okay.
So here we are.
Is there a hearing on this bill?
We had it yesterday, actually.
Oh,
the
wonderful.
The final hearing was in Ways and Means yesterday, and we do have floor action today, and it will probably be on the floor today.
Well, then why don't I give out the legislative hotline and tell people, KVI listeners, to call their legislators. And again, just call the hotline, and they'll know who your legislators are when you tell them where you live, and say, please support SB, as in Senate bill. Please support SB 5769. That's 5769. I'll say it a third time. 5769. Call the legislative hotline. It's 800-562-6000. Just that simple. 800-562-6000. Tell them you want Senate Bill 5769. All right, Linda?
Very good.
Very good. Next time I talk to you, I'm going to want to know where the hell the battle was.
I'll have an answer for you.
Did at least one person die? I mean, what happened at Battleground, Washington? Thanks for being on the show, Linda.
Uh-huh.
That's State Senator Linda Wilson joining me on the John Carlson Show.